Before we move into the Word of God, I have something very important that I need to take care of, and I have dreaded this day, and he probably thinks I've ignored her, which I probably have in part on purpose, because I can't stand the thought. A true mother in our church to many of us, and this morning I would like to have Evelyn Munjoy. I have dreaded this moment, and here we are. Where'd the time go? You're going to have to come up here, tears and all. Yeah, we'll just have to pray together. Evelyn Munjoy, most of you in here that have been around here any time at all have seen this precious little gal at our front desks for now, my goodness, almost 10 years. I know you have been here roughly 10 years. Can you believe that?
No, I passed.
Are you sure you're supposed to go down there?
Time goes by fast when you're having fun, you know?
Are you sure you're supposed to go down there?
I am now.
They're crazy
finally,
down there.
I know. I know. That maybe that's why I'm supposed to go.
Let me give you a mic. So anything you want to that's on your heart. But anyway, she has been with us, started out volunteering, and she was much more than a just a front desk person who answered phones. Many of you who receive birthday cards, anniversary cards, regularly for years and years, she and Chad and others would pray over those cards. She was a ready, capable minister right here at the front desk. How many in here, I mean, we got a very small group today, how many in here have had the blessing of being able to stand by that desk and agree in prayer? So attentive to people's needs on every level, and we're going to desperately miss you.
Gonna desperately miss you guys.
Yeah.
That was awesome this morning. I was sitting back there thinking, wow, this, you know, I'm going to be going to a huge church down in Phoenix, so I am so grateful to have this foundation with this guy, especially the Grace Foundation. You know, so now I know truth, and I'll be able to handle anything that comes along, and I can just go, hey, no, that's not true in my mind if it's not what we agree with.
And there you go. Like Brother Hagin used to say, have the sense of an old West Texas cow. He said,
He says,
what he said was, eat the hay and leave the stubble. Exactly. Don't throw it all out. Just learn how to discern what's good and eat it, and what's not, push it aside.
Right.
So that's what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful for this church. You guys were such a blessing to me. I came a month after my husband had passed away, and so you guys have been family to me. Most of my family is either in Phoenix, Gilbert area, or Flagstaff, and then I have a daughter in Alaska. So, you know, they're not that, except the one in Alaska, but they're not that far away. But just to need the company and the prayers and all of that, you guys have filled that need, and I just appreciate it so much. And this is such a good church. You guys all love the Lord, and you're not afraid to express it, which is pretty neat. And made some really good friends, and just thank you guys so much for your support.
We will miss you very, very much, for sure. Would you extend your hands this direction?
And I hope you continue to do the YouTube thing so I can be watching Sunday services.
I believe so. I don't like it, but they do, so I've been overruled.
It's been a blessing to me.
So at any rate, all it does is provide the way for me to get in more trouble with more people. But so be it. Here we go. Stretch your hands this way. Father, we thank you so much for Evelyn and for her and her walk with you. This is the end of nothing, but rather the beginning of much. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your hand in her and upon her, working and moving, Father God, that ministry that is already prepared, that voice of encouragement, that voice of strength, quiet, meek, but strong. And Father God, we thank you for your blessing, for your provision, that you just make things open and easy there with her family. And Father, we just thank you for in these years, Father God, your grace would be known in a very special way. Father, we thank you so much for your protection over her, the wisdom of God, boldness. And Father, for these things, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
We will miss you. Amen. And I'll be praying for you guys.
Amen. You better.
Pray for your pastor. He's Amen. Awesome.
Thank you, and Evelyn. Absolutely. Oh, and this, me. Yeah, those are for you. You may take that mic so you can.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did, beautiful.
Absolutely. Appreciate we'll miss you. Absolutely.
You. Love you all.
Amen. We really could go on and on and on about her, the many, again, I don't mean to be trite, literally. I mean, what could you say? Those of you that have known her through the years, she was involved in everything at that front desk. Would be, even though we have guys that clean here, there were guys that clean. She would be in there doing the fine stuff, right, guys? Right behind you, windows and dusting and everything, and dropping a heart's beat to pray with somebody or make a connection or Pastor Lee. I don't know how many times she saved my bacon. Pastor Lee, you need to be aware of this. And we will miss you greatly. You are not replaceable. So we'll have to see what we do from there. And that is a fact. I hope you know I mean that, Evelyn. These aren't things we say in front of a group, a formality in seeing you go. Did you hear? She said it's nice to hear before you're dead. That is so true. Amen. So be sure and give her a good old-fashioned hug. And you're leaving, will it be this week? This is, gotcha. She will be, her brother and wife made, they live in not too far off of the 101, right? Do I have the right place? I always get, okay. And they have a beautiful home, and they made arrangements for her to have her own area to live in, etc., within their home. So she's going to be right there close with family. So that'll be awesome. So we will miss you greatly. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. Once again, we want to welcome each and every one of you and those of us who will join us by video. As we get into the Word of God and a few other things that the Word of God should direct us towards. Can you say amen? Before we get to the message, Jackie had posted this on Facebook, the church Facebook, and man, it speaks so much of to what is going on around us right now. And I just wanted to read this to you before we move into the things that I've been trying to get to for a number of weeks. Acts 17, would you turn there with me? Acts 17. And I'm going to go ahead and start reading for time's sake as you catch up. Acts chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Now you got to understand, in his time and in his setting, that was radical. It was confrontational. It was truth that brought division. And he didn't hold back. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned," I love this phrase, "these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar." How many know that as believers, Paul appeals to us to be obedient to the civil laws and to our laws in general. But when those laws come in conflict with God's laws, how many know we have a higher law that supersedes, that trumps, no pun intended, that law? Okay. So, contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus, and they troubled the people. Notice the misinformation. Notice how that the ones who were stirring chaos and disorder were the very one, they were accusing those who they brought before the rulers as doing that. But I'll tell you what they were preaching and what they were standing for caused these people to say something that I wish the world could say about us. And I pray that we will change that. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. It's time to make a stand. Time to make a difference. It's time to be unashamed and unafraid to speak truth. And they troubled the city, verse 8, and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason, of others, they let them go. And then it goes on. She put that on the Facebook webpage. I thought, wow, there's a whole lot I could say about that. I mean, surely you can see the different analogies that could be drawn, the comparisons of the day we live in. And know that truth trumps all. Are you here today? Yes. And there is a time to speak up. Paul speaks of speaking the truth in love. He also talks of reproving openly works of darkness if we truly do love. And so I love that passage of Scripture. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning one more time to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I don't know, John, if you could just make sure that video is cued and ready to go and that we have volume. If we get there, we get there. If we don't, we don't. Eventually I'll show it, but at least have it ready. And then we'll go from there. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The King James is a little convoluted there. He's speaking of tests and trials. How many have been through a few tests and trials, spiritually, emotionally, wrestled with all the what ifs and what's true and what not, and your heart wants to cringe and retreat? Fear is something that is always, there's always that shadow. And how many know that we can stand strong in the Word of God, okay? He says, count it all joy. I'm preaching to me this morning because I have to say that this week was a real challenge to my joy. I don't know if I shared this last week. I can't remember if it was before last weekend or if it was early part of this week, but my own son, his boss, wife goes in to be tested because she's feeling bad, and they test her positive. So the husband says, then I need to go in and be tested. When he went in, they refused to test him. They had already tested him as positive and put it in his permanent medical records because of his close proximity. This is going on like crazy right now. Ramping up the numbers for fear and control to divide, to get good people. A lot of these people that you see are doing what they do because they're afraid. And one side of me makes me almost angry at some of them because I'm like, aren't you paying attention? The flip side is that many of them just don't know. They're just doing everything they can to do whatever they can because there's so much ambiguity to this whole mess. Anybody who wonders about any of this should really be paying attention to the fact that when a certain group continues to move the goalpost, when the professionals continue to move the goalpost, you can bet your life on there's an agenda. And it's probably not good. Okay? So this week, last couple of weeks, this week, and so, I mean, it's just like there's a bulldozer that no matter what is said, is just literally just marching right over top of our voices, right smashing over top of truth. That's why these songs that we, you know, in the light, I know we shouldn't, everything shouldn't be contextualized to fit what we're going through. We have to keep our heart and our mind on Jesus. I have a responsibility not to stand up here and be a politician. Preach the gospel first. But I'm going to talk about that, and I'm going to show you scriptural precedents for our error. In the name of being apolitical, we have retreated and let the world take over all of our cutting-edge research, medical, space, whatever, our universities, education, politics, our legal system, right on down the line, arts, everything. We've let them take it over because of bad theology and wrong thinking and being little by little intimidated. And that's what tonight is all about, by the way. I'm going to monitor what's going on. We're going to make sure that everything is done civilly, but we are literally going to throw some mud at the wall and see what sticks. A lot of people, a lot of you are informed, you're aware of what's going on, and you're saying, what do we do? How do we respond? That's what tonight primarily will be about. So don't come expecting, as Sean shared, don't come expecting a service or a Bible study. There will be no worship. I'm going to throw some chairs out here. We can sit down, maybe add some information, but also talk about what do I say when numerous cases within the last couple weeks, people from this little church, so imagine what that might represent throughout the area, have been literally accosted openly and publicly, angrily, for not wearing a mask in open air. How do you respond? We're going to give some ways to respond kindly, with strength, and to turn things back around. I have some ideas, but I didn't want to set it in stone because I want us to be a part of that, those of you who want to be involved and have a say in how they'll respond. But I want a simple, something along the lines of, thank you for your concern for me. I really appreciate it, but I actually am concerned for you, and here's why. One, two, three. If they start yelling, God bless you and walk away. But no response is ineffective, and getting angry and just lashing back is ineffective. But if enough of us will calmly and strongly respond, it's a place to begin. Now, I jump to tonight and to the middle of my message, but you can tell what primarily is on. So there's been a lot over the last couple of weeks, last week in particular. What's happening in various Democratic, and I said it and I'll say it again, run and ruled cities and states, and the out-and-out open declaration of socialism and communism and a globalist agenda. I used to kind of snicker at a lot of this. I knew some of it was true, but I, like many of you, wrote it off as conspiracy theory. It's not. The toppling of our national monuments is no longer a political issue. The revolution that we are facing is not a political revolution. It is cultural. And what they're, Sean said it right on the money, what they're coming at is a culture. America is replete with terrible mistakes like any other nation. We have made desperate blunders, but these have happened as the scales have been balanced by the first experiment ever like this, a democratic republic, a representative republic, whereby the system that at a perfect time in history, it could have never happened. If you know and do your homework and love history like I do, you will know that no other time in history was it possible. God knew And a nation was born with all of her imperfections. There were men who stood. Now, there are many things, but this is the center. And I've said it for the last several weeks, and I want to remind you of it one more time. There have been many empires that have come and gone. Those for brief periods is because of the result of preaching the gospel that recognized and honored God for a time and then fell again. Every government and every known empire has always had a ruler who dealt out rights as they saw fit. But men of God and men who recognized a higher authority under the tyranny of England said, this is not right. Move to a new land. History was perfectly set for God to do the impossible and the unimaginable. And a little fledgling group of men, tattered and poor and badly equipped, stood against the greatest empire in the then known world, declaring this: if we die in our effort, so be it. But it is God, not government, that gives certain inalienable rights. True freedom is not dealt out. Rights are not dealt out by men, but God is the only one who gives true freedom. And the spirit of Antichrist hates freedom. For the spirit of Antichrist seeks to use a legal system of any kind. Not just government, but even religious legalism. And what we're seeing right now is no longer an issue of left versus right, or black versus white, or white versus black. It is a group of people that are heavily funded. I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's a petition right now on the petition site, whitehouse.gov, that went viral over the last couple days. Tonight, we're going to show you where it's at. You ought to be a part of it. But under the RICO law, calling George Soros a terrorist and calling for the immediate removal of all his assets. Will it work? I don't know. But we must be doing everything that we can, because there is incredible power and force behind these things. And here's where I'm going with this. When they are tearing down monuments of people who stood for the black population of our country, who hated racism and slavery, when they're tearing down those same monuments, one over the last few days that was actually paid for by former slaves. And now the announcement by the head of that movement to begin to topple and tear down statues of Jesus. People, a few weeks ago, I stirred anger. I was called an alarmist, but I said they're going to continue this. There's going to be a major surge again of COVID. It's how they're operating. Listen, one of the things that they're not telling you is the more they test, the more numbers they can generate. The tests are faulty. They do not prove anything. And on top of that, if everybody has had COVID, which probably everybody has had COVID, the more they test, what it's smoke and mirrors, the more they test and the more they try to increase panic and fear and double-mindedness, what they're hiding from you, it's sleight of hand, is the death rate is plummeting into oblivion. They're proving our point while they use that to scare you into a form of mind control. And they're not coming after your political party. They're not coming after. They're coming after your cultural center, which is based on a Judeo-Christian ethic, and they hate it. And it's time for men of God and people, not pastors. I need you. You see how thin we are this morning? Don't let me be set up as a target by myself. We need to stand together. You're listening on here. Don't do that. Will I stand here regardless? You bet your boots I will. But shouldn't be that way. But I need to remind myself and you today. These are trials that a few months ago were unthinkable. How many times have I heard myself say, with renewed emphasis and shock, this is unbelievable. How many times have I heard myself voice to somebody, I never dreamed in my lifetime. It's no longer alarmist or wild or extreme to say, they are coming after the Jesus in you. These guys didn't stand by passive. They stood. Were willing to give their lives. I don't believe it's that dire yet, but it could be. Do you realize if we don't pray, you mark my words. I've not been listening to Christian television. I've not been listening. I'm not parroting anybody up. They're going to make an attempt on his life. Probably have already done it many times. They're going to do everything they can. Not because he himself is a great godly man. That's none of my business. What I do is I discern the times we're in and whose God is using and his hand, and I see what this man to his own hurt and loss is standing for. And people, it's for our Christian ideals. And where are we? Where are we? I'm not talking to most of you in here. I'm preaching to the choir, but hopefully the increasing number of people watching this are telling somebody else, and a lot of them are they're taking these videos and sending them out. Scares me. You think I'm proud of that? Scares the living daylights out of me. The responsibility of that. I can feel the criticism. I don't need your criticism right now. I'm not saying you. I'm talking about the other church down the road. We need your prayer. You need to be praying for one another. And in the middle of all this, as we seek wisdom, somewhere I must find, reach for, receive grace that has been imparted to me through the work of Jesus in my heart and life to count it all joy. I'm struggling there. But we must honor his word. Would you lift your hands up all over the room today? Somehow, Father, by your grace, we are the children of God. Not born of fear, born of faith. And today we reach out to you knowing that the joy of the Lord must be my strength. Lord, put a smile back on our face. I don't need any more wrinkles around my eyes and on my forehead. Are you here today? Today, Father, we choose joy. Let us, as we put together a plan of response, let the peace of God umpire our hearts. As we think on whatsoever is true, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, righteous, holy, right on down the line. Father God, we today count it as joy. For such a time, would you say it to yourself this morning? Esther of old, for such a time as this. Your attitude determines whether these are the worst times you ever lived or the greatest times you ever live. Only you make that decision. Choose with me today. These are the greatest times. Now, will there be sacrifice ahead? Possibly. Will there be the need to stand up? Even with threat to our very well-being? Possibly. But greater is He that is in me. It's not a cute little bumper sticker slogan, but it is a promise from the Word of God, and I must hold to it. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Count it all joy. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Upbraideth is old King James, for he doesn't hold back. He gives freely. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Stop. This has been used by well-meaning faith teachers, including myself, in our attempt to teach people how to walk in faith, we literally scared them off of it. And the way that it has been interpreted is, your faith must be perfect, or you can't receive from God. Context is everything. You've heard me say it many times. Stole it from Joseph Prince, and he stole it from somebody else. When you take the text out of the context, you wind up with a con. With COVID-19, when you take the text out of the context, you wind up with a con. When it comes to social justice, I said it last week, social justice, a buzz phrase of the left, when you examine a little closer, is justice without mercy. And justice without mercy is demonic and satanic, and we're seeing its results. The Bible does not proclaim justice. It proclaims justice and mercy. Bless those who persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. How can preachers, black and white, stand in our pulpits all across America and align themselves with Black Lives Matter and Antifa? I'm here to tell you that we believe, and I have lived it, my legacy is mission field. My love, I grew up, I probably understand it as well or better than many of you in here possibly, I don't know. I believe with all of my heart that the lives of black people absolutely do matter, but that is separate and apart, as wide and deep as the Grand Canyon, from Black Lives Matter, a communist leftist entity that abuses religion and in government for control. Their goal is to topple a government that they hate and stands in their way to achieve what they believe is every human being's responsibility, to reduce the population for the sake of our future, and to do whatever you want, call a boy a girl a boy, kill babies wantonly, to have any kind of sex you want without any consequence. To do anything you want. It amazes me right now that government leaders all over this land are shaking in their boots, both local and state, because they have personally been involved in the sex trade. And God bless President Trump, who is going after them behind the scenes. And we need to pray because they don't like it. Hillary Clinton, on tape I have it, said, "If you take me down, I'm taking all of you down." This is way Trump's own words last week were, "When I took this on, I never dreamed how deep the deep state is." These are terms that I snickered at. Well, you can't get sidetracked, just preach the truth. This chapter, I didn't lose my train of thought, believe it or not. It's not speaking of your faith for salvation, your faith for healing, your faith for your provision. Aren't you glad that when we're struggling, His faith in us? What did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? Write it down. "I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live," how? "By my faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. When I was born again, He deposited His faith in me, and I am not walking alone on just my sheer faith. Before the new covenant, according to thy faith, be it unto thee." And our faith can do a lot, but ultimately, the greater thing is a new covenant with a new kind of faith, and that's His faith in me. And James here, as a Jew, speaking to a predominantly, if not all at this time, a Jewish church and a Jewish people, is challenging a national mindset that God is behind their struggle. It's shameful when you turn on TV and you have the greatest preachers and orators in America saying God is bringing judgment on America. Horse pucky. America is suffering the consequence of her sin. Just like you and I do. And when they say God is judging, in their mind, it is getting even, laying it straight. It's what men wanted so badly. It's what the disciples and His followers wanted so bad to see out of Jesus. Where's your sword? They want God to render judgment. Remind you of a little verse that I have never forgotten. "For God so loved the world." Every stupid, spoiled, rich brat, white kid apologizing for his white privilege on the front lines of Black Lives Matter. 42% of them are white. Rich kids from suburbia. But you know what? He loves them. Somewhere I've got to reach in the deepest part of my heart and have enough anointing on me to pray that their eyes will be opened. But I'll tell you this, that won't be my whole emphasis. We must pray for one another and not be intimidated just because we stand up and sound an alarm does not make us intolerant or mean or cruel or insensitive. It makes us responsible. Patriots in a nation that still hangs on to "in God we trust." Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. All right. This chapter is not speaking of your faith in reference to healing or believing God for your income or for your children. Don't let the devil scare you that your faith has to be perfect or you can't. What he's speaking to is, he goes on and he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He gives some beautiful analogies. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endures these tests and trials. For when he is tried, he will receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Here is his point. Let no man say when he is tested or tried that he is tested or tried by God. He is speaking to now brothers, Jews, their history, their understanding. They never had a separation really between God and the devil. And what he's appealing to them is, you must believe that God, you must, your faith in this area that he is good and he is not behind evil is vital to your receiving anything from God. He's not talking about your healing. He's talking about a central core truth. When you're struggling in your faith in reference to your body or in reference to different things, he's there in you working. What did Paul say in Romans 8? It says that when we are found in weakness, he takes together with us. He doesn't stand back and say, well, your faith is wavering. You're not receiving anything from me. He takes together with us, the original says, hugs us tighter in our struggle, even in your sin. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor Lee? I mean exactly what I said. Paul said, whatever is not of faith is sin. That levels the ground. Oh, how we need him every day. Aren't you glad for his grace that he gives liberally to us who don't deserve? Yeah. Every day, his love and his mercy is brand new, Ed. That is so awesome. Keeps me going. How about you? And what he's challenging is a national concept. He said, well, where are you getting that from, Lee? Let no man say when he is tested that he's tempted of God, for God won't be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man with evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 17, you think that what I'm saying is, oh, you're kind of taking a little bit out of context. No. Let your eyes be open. Here he comes again. Bam! Every good and perfect gift from above is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This little book is speaking of a faith that believes that he is for me, never against me. Period. Let's worship a minute, shall you? Lay your Bible down just right now. Come on, let's lift our hands all over the building. Jesus, how we love you. Thank you for showing us the Father. Thank you for showing us the Father. Thank you that my faith doesn't need to be perfect. That right now, everybody in here that has their hand raised are affirming together that my faith is complete and unwavering in this. You are good. Shout it out this morning. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Come on. Woo! He is good. This little chapter winds up speaking of the new covenant. It speaks of something James, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, calls the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of freedom. You've heard me quote it many times, and I'll say it again today. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from that other law. That other law is still righteous, perfect, holy, and will stand forever as a law for the lawless. But in Christ, I am no longer lawless. For His law, now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 1:17, Moses gave the law, but grace and truth. You think about that. That might rattle your religion if you actually read your Bible. Some people, they don't care what the Bible says. They believe what they believe. But I think most of us in here, we know we've got to stay with the Word of God. So this little book speaks of double-mindedness. Now, double-mindedness is something the enemy uses. He's always done this. He distorted what God said to Eve in the garden, and through that was able to bring demonic deception. And we know what happened. Can you lift your hand and say, thank God for Jesus. Thank the Father for sending the Son. Romans 5:17 says, death reigned as a result of that deception and Adam's sin. She was deceived. Adam walked right into it. So don't blame the ladies, guys. Adam sinned, brought death into the world, and death reigned by that one Adam. But thank God for the second Adam, Jesus Christ the righteous. For those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these will reign in life in 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24, and right on down the line. Irregardless of what happens. Stand back and watch the salvation of the Lord. If you believe that He is good. How many believe He's good today? This little book, that first chapter, goes on to talk about the importance for you seeing yourself as a new person in this mirror. Speaks of a mirror. I'm not going to take the time right now. As he moves through the book, he says, where there is confusion, there is every evil work. Double-mindedness happens when truth is blended. Jesus in the wilderness, Luke 4. Satan actually quoting Scripture and appealing to him on the legal basis of the Bible. Until finally Jesus pulled the ultimate card and said, you can stop right now. Thou shalt, let me tell you who I am, in case you haven't figured it out yet, dum-dum. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Get thee behind me. But I want you to think about something. We pray and we want it to happen right now. Jesus, the Son of God. The devil came at him three times. He was relentless. Until he announced who he was. You need to stand up and announce with all the love and grace you can muster and say who you are. We doing all right? Uh-oh, he's getting out his notes. We're in trouble. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursues. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. There's a lot of people that are not wicked, but they are running with the wicked because they don't know and they're scared. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man is a snare." We got to understand what's going on here. And the misinformation that is going on right now is designed by Satan himself to bring in double-mindedness, to get you to back off, to get put a hitch in your giddy-up, a stutter in your preach, and appealing on the basis of fairness and equality, while in the other hand, they hold merciless retribution and forced compliance. Fear isn't just the opposite of faith. Fear is the result of double-mindedness. And we've been talking about this for weeks. There's an article, and I don't know, does anybody recognize this? You give me anything like this, make sure your name, I would love to give you credit. They handed this to me a number of days back, and it was in the beginning of all this, and I've been wanting to read it for weeks, and I want to just read it to you. This is a, it's actually Brother Womack's, is it monthly? Yeah, I believe we get it monthly. Monthly newsletter. And in here, the title is literally A Biblical Response to Coronavirus. And he says, the coronavirus has resulted in a huge number of changes in a short amount of time. Can you shout amen? It's like a perfect storm was waiting to happen. First, we're in an election cycle with political motivations running high. Next, we have so many people in the world who operate in fear and on a normal basis, that operate in fear on a normal basis, that when something comes up that doesn't, that man doesn't have the answer to, they just panic. Finally, we have a news media that always presents worst-case scenarios. They've been responsible for amplifying fears about the virus. When you combine these elements, you get a tsunami reaction of fear. I believe it's important that we respond biblically. Can you say amen? So we've been talking about this morning to any situation. I often say there's a ditch on either side of the road. On the one hand, some people think we should ignore what's going on and not change anything. On the other hand, some people have fallen into an absolute panic. Neither response represents a biblical approach. I think I could agree with that, although at this time, none of us knew. This was before the churches closed. I closed our doors when President Trump expressed that pretty much we didn't know what was going on. I didn't like it. I didn't like what I felt inside. I knew something was off. But because their plan was so well set, when they sprung the trap, many of us, out of a sense of duty and responsibility, especially when I'm asked by my president, who seems to be fighting for me, says, we must do this until we know what's going on. That's also why, as the weeks went by, and as I researched and had to dig through deleted video after deleted video after Facebook commentary after one thing after another, until I finally began to put together a pattern that matched up what I knew in my spirit man was already the truth. Listen, people, don't ignore your spirit man. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Says you have an unction, that is an anointing. That means the presence of God in you by the Holy Spirit knows all things. Are we listening? Are we dialed in? He's talking. He's in there. The knower is there. He's in you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, you have an anointing, and you know all things, and have no need that any man teach you. We know by the Spirit of God right from wrong. Learn to trust that. Find scripture that backs up. If you can't, put it on the shelf. But if you can find scripture and you can find truth, as born-again believers, we know way more than we're picking up on mentally if we have a knowledge of the Holy Spirit living in us. And as the weeks went by, I finally said, I don't care what anybody else is doing. We're opening up this week. And I arrived at that conclusion. I was ashamed. I said, I should have stood 2 weeks ago. Come to find out, we were the earliest to open in the air. I'm not bragging, I'm just reporting. And people were shocked. It was after I'd announced that Art Brnovich, you heard me tell about this a number of weeks ago, our Attorney General of Arizona, talked about the constitutionality of the church remaining and ruled churches to be left alone, essential. Now, I understand what he had to word for legal purposes, but we are not essential. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not essential. We're not a business that is essential. The gospel is the answer. And don't you ever doubt it. I'm not essential. I'm vital. Are you here this morning? Do you hear what I'm saying? You're not essential. We are vital. Without salt and light, this world, God help us. Salt and light, to be seen, felt, tasted, and known. 1st of all, as believers, we should never be moved by fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a, are you here, people? Sound mind. Fear should never motivate us. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made in perfect love. It's faith, not fear, that we operate in. And then he says some things that I really like. He says, however, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take any precautions. We need faith, not foolishness. This was back when all this was going on, very true. But what, with the information that we have now, rip the stupid mask off, breathe the 20%+ of oxygen that is afforded to you in the air. Don't be duped and fall prey to hypoxia, which is exactly what they want. They want a dulled mentality, a repressed immune system to add to their numbers. It is absolute government manipulation, and it's high time you trust what's in your gut and do something. You don't have to be rude, ignorant, judgmental, but stop. There is a place to stand. That's up to you and the Lord. You know, it just blows my mind that Governor Ducey would have the audacity to tell me to wash my hands after I use the bathroom. Seriously? Seriously? And then ABC 15 and the others come out and say, oh, you better watch out for the hand sanitizers. They have methanol in them and they're dangerous. I'm not drinking it. I'm putting it on my hands. What are they doing? Fear. Over 1,000 cases. And more since they said that. Deaths from coronavirus. Lies. Almost 100% of those people that died of things they were going to die with already, called comorbidities. And the shameful thing is, he knows it, or he's lazy and not doing his own research and letting his staff spoon feed him. Either way, it is despicable. Lord, bless that man, strengthen that man, open his eyes, let him see the truth and have the fortitude. Or if his heart is off, get him out. What are we doing? Ramping numbers up in the exact states where there were to be Trump rallies and ignoring the plummeting death rate The majority of those being tested, if the tests are even correct, show antibodies and no symptoms. And we have still to date what the Swedish Research Council said in the beginning, a less than 0.1% death rate. To date, it has not changed. Don't believe, their own numbers don't lie. If you don't know who Dr. Pamela Popper is, Central Ohio, YouTube, look her up. She is not a radical. She's not a wild-eyed buffoon. She is a medical professional. She understands immunology, virology, and she quietly sits there at her desk and shows the flamboyant contradiction of her local news, of national news, of the Center for Disease Control and the WHO. And on there does several clear explanations of why masks are more dangerous than the so-called virus. You say, Pastor Lee, why is all this so important? Because all this is preempting control. If they could ramp it up enough, they would tell us to close our church doors. How come 1,500 medical professionals signed off for riots who hours before kept people locked in their homes? How come rioting is okay and doesn't cause a spike in the virus, but Trump rallies do? People, you've got to see. This isn't political. This is cultural. They're coming at the root of your freedoms that are God-given, and we need to wake up. Yesterday, my wife, responding to a missionary daughter that I've known Brother Krieger and his family since I was just a little guy. They served with us together in Honduras. His daughter is now a grown young woman with her own babies and family, and Jackie and she have struck up a relationship through Facebook. On private messenger, private, not the message board to the public, private messenger, she asked, I was sitting there, she said, "Where are you getting your news?" We said, we are getting our news primarily right now from OAN, One America News. I said, tell her that she can get it for free in HD due to a fairly recent new FCC ruling. You can get all of your basic cable and dishnet channels for free, legal, through a web browser. That's the distinction. On a website called ustvgo.tv. And you can go on there for free, no pay, and watch OAN. So Jackie put all that, hit send. And it wouldn't go, and it wouldn't go, and it wouldn't go. And then all of a sudden a message popped up. We have deemed this information to be harmful. And untruthful, and cannot comply with your request. Private messenger yesterday. We're not being freaked. I told you last week, we all up and open our phones. Most of you found it. This isn't about politics. This is about a cultural. This is about hating the God of freedom. What are we going to do? That's part of what tonight is about. Can I have a few more minutes? Okay. What's that? Yeah. We also need to understand not everybody has the knowledge and faith that we do. I love Brother Womack. I don't agree with everything I hear, but he is the straightest arrow out there right now. I'm not sure I agree with everything I say either. I go back and go, what would you say? We're growing. 1 Corinthians 8, 6 and 7 says, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him. One Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. This verse helps us realize that not all people are at the same place of faith. And if they tried to intimidate us, it could destroy them. It's a pretty good little turn on things. Having said all this, I believe we're going to come through this better than ever. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I believe that. People have been able to spend more time in the Word. I've been studying the Word up to 10 hours a day. We have over, and I'm giving a shameless plug for Brother Womack. You got lots of time. We have over 200,000 hours of free material on our website. If you read for 8 hours per day, it would take you 68 years to get through all the teaching that is available to you for free. Through the live streams I've been having, we're reaching more people with the gospel. And he goes on and talks about all of that. Tremendous, tremendous article. Then, I assume it was in the same newsletter. It looks like the same, yeah. Here he has, observing all things. How much does the Bible get in the way of what you believe? This is his article, observing all things. How much does the Bible get in the way of what you believe? If you're like most Christians, you believe in Jesus, but you've compartmentalized your faith so that your Bible beliefs have only a little influence over the other areas of your life. Can you say ouch? For many, the Bible doesn't influence what they believe one iota. As long as they claim to believe on Jesus, they think they can believe whatever they want about issues in life and society. That is absolutely wrong. All that this means is that they have not been taught to observe all things. Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You see, a disciple is a person who observes all things Jesus commanded. By and large, the church has not been making disciples. Their goal has basically been, let's just get people born again and make sure they're headed to heaven. This has caused problems because the church isn't teaching people to observe all things Jesus commanded. I was in a discussion with somebody very near and dear to me, and they threw this out. They said, why do you bother teaching on healing or teaching on God's provision? Don't you know that divides and confuses, and a lot of that you can't even back up scripture. So, well, number one, I can back it up scripturally, but number two, and this is what he told me. He said, don't you understand that the most important thing is getting people born again? And the wisdom of God fell on me, and out of my mouth, before I had a chance to even realize what I was saying, I said, that is exactly like saying the most important thing in life is being born. No. Being born is important for you to live life. And most of the gospel is how to live life once you've been born. So there's a whole lot more than just getting people born again. Teaching them to observe all things. Disciples, not converts. Pastor Lee, when are we going to start a discipleship so you can hold my hand and lead me through every little doctrine so I won't wobble and fall? You're in discipleship right now. Are you writing it down? They didn't have specialized discipleship classes when they were writing this stuff. I'm not saying that's wrong, good, or bad, or otherwise. But if we just take even a tenth of what we hear one day a week and put it to work, you wouldn't need discipleship. You hear the gospel here every single week. Okay, I'll move to the next point. You see, a disciple is someone who observes all things. By and large, the church has not been making disciples. Their goal has basically been, let's get people born again and make sure they're headed to heaven. This has caused problems because the church isn't teaching people to observe all things. There's a void in society where Christians ought to be taking a stand. Brother Womack. When it comes to social or moral issues, a lot of Christians are silent or oppose what the Bible says. That's what I mentioned by name. Shocked me. Disappointed me, and I hope somehow by God's grace, they by a fluke or by a supernatural work, see this video and know that I have named you John Gray, who I love and appreciate your ministry. But it is shameful that you would align yourself with the people who are riding in the streets and talk about your own suffering of racism. Stephen Furtick, Elevation Church, where is your head? You're an anointed man of God who has brought change to this nation. Why would you do this? Why can't we stand and speak of 70% of the black population families having no father? Where was that message? Where was your message to the nation about 900 black babies a day being murdered in abortion clinics? Where were you on the issues that really stood? But now you want to come out and defend Black Lives Matter? I'm here to tell you that the lives of black people are precious and they matter a lot, and so do all of us. The way to win back your rights is not to demand them, but to serve one another in love. And you of all people, sir, should know that. Most say, you just need to stick to preaching the word and stop getting into politics and social issues. I've had that told me straight up in here. Called me back, whispered in my ear, love him, still love him. He meant well. He's scared, but it's still wrong. Brother Womack says, but I am preaching the word. It's not me who's invading. Listen to this. This guy, he says, it's not me who is invading the social political arena. These things are encroaching on what the Bible has to say. You see what the devil does? Calling evil good and good evil. If we stay silent, the unbelievers who don't have a biblical worldview are going to be the ones establishing all the policies, determining what we can say and can't say, and what we can and can't do. I have one word for Brother Womack. Too late. But it's not too late to turn it around. We have a president in office right now, regardless of what you think of him, who is doing everything he can, and I don't understand why. He's not a godly man. Now, we don't know where he's at right now. We don't know what's going on inside of him. Keep praying for him. There may be some things going on inside of him that we're not aware of. So don't judge after the flesh. Keep believing God and pouring grace over and protection over he and his family. This is already happening, and many Christians have just accepted this. A woman in our Bible school came and told me that every time I'd mention anything about economics, abortion, homosexuality, or creationism, a couple that I love very much in our own church has been through this. I love them to date. I believe God will open their eyes somehow, some way. We love them. But it's amazing how those that cry, "You're political," let their politics separate them from their family. It's the same thing alcoholism does. It's the same spirit. I pulled her aside. Oh, she said, but after being in the school, speaking of Karis Bible College, she said, after being in the school for a year and a half, she said, I've changed, and my position on nearly all these issues has changed. I pulled her aside and said, I'm not trying to criticize you. I just honestly want to know how a committed Christian could have these viewpoints that are completely contrary to the Bible. And in case anybody's thinking it or anybody would misinterpret in reference to the couple, if you even know what I'm talking about, if you don't, it doesn't matter. I absolutely do not doubt and will never forget the day that they were born again individually at different times with tears flowing, and that same God is living in them. And Philippians 2:13, I pronounce it over them today in Jesus' name, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So don't let anybody speak to you negatively or disparage them. Bless them and love them. Period. She said, I love Jesus and I really had committed my life to him. But I really didn't love the Word. When I came to Bible college and started hearing the Word, I fell in love with it. I let the Word dominate me. I couldn't hold, this is all quote. This is what she said. And I couldn't hold on to my positions any longer. And Brother Womack says, you can love God and be liberal in your social views, but you can't love the Word and be that way. If your attitude, doctrine, or worldview doesn't line up with the Word of God, you need to change it, not change the Word of God. Sadly, a lot of Christians are buying into a worldly doctrine because there isn't anyone opposing it. Listen, this is what I've been trying to shout for weeks. Hear it today. Why? Where are the pastors? There are a few in our area. But there ought to be all of them. Some have shrunk in their holes till September. Good God. Any rate. Sadly, a lot of Christians are buying into a world of doctrine because there isn't anyone opposing it or standing up for the truth. Well, I'm taking a stand against these things that undermine the Word of God. You need to take that same stand. You might take offense at this because that is not the way you were raised or educated, but you've believed things for so long that you don't know if you can change. But like I started off asking, how much do you let the Word of God get in the way of what you believe? Are you willing to take a stand? Are you willing to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of just a convert? These are all good questions to ask yourself. If you sincerely want to change and observe all things Jesus commanded, then you start by getting my series. And he talks about his series called Observing All Things, and I'd encourage you to get it. You got lots of time. You want discipleship? Get discipled. Powerful. I think that's a good word. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to do this today. We're finally making Canaan ground. I got through part of my notes. Yay! Gary DeMar, tremendous article. You'll love it. Citing the Ten Commandments and laying it against a backdrop of what's going on in our government right now. The title is, Pastors Must Address Politics and Everything Else from the Pulpit. And he lays out why, and it's tremendous. Don't let it scare you off. Really? Seriously? At this point, we're still worried about what people think about us? Really? You remember the interview that we watched that was so powerful between Jack Hibbs, Chino Hills, California? The interview that was conducted was with the president of the Family Research Council. You heard his credentials in that video and how tightly President Trump is holding him for counsel. That ought to tell you a lot. In here, he talks about that very thing, the importance of the church beginning to stand up and take her place. Next week, Lord willing, time allowing, I'd like to show you in the Bible how Daniel, Jeremiah, and others stood up and turned the heads of kings, changed kingdoms as they stood up and would not be silenced or intimidated by governments. They honored those governments. They were men who were humble up to the point where that law interfered with God's law and they stood. And then we're going to look at a few in the New Testament and then look at the principles of why it will bless you. Ruled by God's laws or ruled by the dictates of the state? An article that goes with it. I won't take the time to read this. I was going to. Maybe we'll take time next week or we'll just read it tonight. The miserable pseudoscience behind face masks, social distancing, and contact tracing, what it really is. Make your blood run cold. You better pay attention. I was going to read a letter that I wrote to Governor Doug Ducey. I'll do that tonight. I'm not going to take the time now. Do we still have the video? I'd love for you to see this as we go. Do we have time? Okay, if you need to leave, you're welcome. I'm not going to think anything bad. We're a little bit over again. Take your time. If you need to leave, no problem. But I want you to see just a little bit of the front of this. And before you start it, I find it interesting that YouTube's arm is being twisted. They're still doing some stuff. But they're letting videos stay on there now that before they were pulling down by the droves. This poor gal couldn't hardly get her stuff up without it being jerked off. And it's holding, along with a number of others. This is a discussion about the fallacy of the new separation of church and state concept. Not what it originally was. So just a little bit. Then we're going to pray before you go. Remember tonight at 5:30 if you want to just come here and shoot at the sky for a little bit till we come up with something, see what comes down, all right? So go ahead and roll just a little bit of this, if you would. It's YouTube, skip ad, there you go. And that's good. We're way over time. You get a little sense of this. You can look this up yourself. You just go to YouTube, go to the Candace Owens Show. You'll find this interview. I think it's split into two. I would encourage you to go look at it. Candace for President 2024. Real quick, above mentioned pastor goes on to write, one caveat is this, perhaps a pastor will do a topical series on a key issue of the day, how Christians should think through them biblically. I've done this as a Sunday night series. This can be helpful, however. A pastor must be faithful to let the text speak to the issue and not wedge your particular political opinion into the text. But why just Sunday evening? Why not Sunday morning when most of the congregation is present? Some might say that there might be visitors. Leave salvation to God. People come to Christ in the most extraordinary ways. My wife came to Christ after listening to a prayer. I came to Christ after listening to some bad teaching on prophecy. And he goes on to talk. We're going to look at that next week. Stand with me together. Have you enjoyed this morning? We went a little long, but I think it's well worth it. I'm not apologizing today. Let's lift our hands together. Lord, today we submit to you, to your great love, to your word that is the final word, to your calling, to the boldness placed within by the Holy Spirit. We submit to you. We submit today and receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And today, as your people, I'm reminded of James 4:7, that when we submit in this fashion, James said, actually the Spirit of God speaking through James said, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Today, Father, we stand with authority and grace and strength. It doesn't take brawn and muscle, Zechariah 4:8, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. A beautiful young princess named Esther took a stand, changed a kingdom. Today we stand graced as those who are called your bride, for whom you will return. And today, unashamed, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is still the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to me and you, and everyone that listens, the Greek. We love you today. Today we ask you boldly, for wisdom. And thank you for gracing us with such, for we do not have a hitch of doubt. I believe in all over this room that you are good and you will do what you say that you do. Bless your people, strengthen them through this week. As we count it all joy, letting patience have her perfect work. And I pronounce over myself and over you here today, we will be mature, whole, and lacking nothing that we need as we move forward. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen, amen and amen.